This one trait is absolutely worthless. But the challenge is so many of us possess it and dwell on it in our lives and really prevents us from achieving a higher level of success. That's the discussion of today's Speak and Get What You Want podcast here with the great Francis Jones. How you doing, Francis?
I am great. It's great to be here.
Well, and you know, this one trait that we've talked about, you and I have many conversations about how it really hinders our success and causes us to dwell in a place of despair and frustration and gets us distracted from what we really could be accomplishing today.
Right. Yeah. Because first of all, it's not real and it's meaningless. Like, it doesn't mean anything. Right?
Well, and Francis, I can't even tell you how many times you shared with me a story that I want you to share right now, but you shared the story with me a few days ago and it got me thinking about how many times I've had that very scenario play through my mind. It wasn't maybe specific with what your example, but my version of what you are about to share.
Yeah. So we're talking about regret, right? We're talking about this idea of regretting something that's happened. And back in 2003, I worked at a company called the Vanguard Group. It's a mutual fund company, and I was in the brokerage department. And they used to play a game every year where they would allot $10,000. It wasn't real money, but you had to pick a stock, a mutual fund, something, some vehicle. And then they'd track it for 90 days, and then whoever made the most amount of money won the prize. It was, you know, a badge or bragging rights or whatever it was. It was nothing real, obviously. And I wanted to get the most bang for my buck, and I was new to the brokerage. So I decided to buy options of Marvel Comics. And I was able to buy 6,666 shares of Marvel Comics back in 2003. And it did okay. I mean, I didn't win the contest, but I was curious the other day, given the rise of Marvel and the purchase by Disney and all that other stuff, what would happen? What would those 6,666 shares, my 6,666 shares, be worth today if I had held on to them? And those 6,666 shares, that $10,000 worth of Marvel Comics, would be worth $1.2 million today. And so if I'm not careful, I find myself thinking, man, if I had only purchased that $10,000 worth of stock back then, I would have $1.2 million. Do you see any problem with that? That question?
Well, Chad? I often take it a step further, Francis, and go, man, what if I could have gotten $100,000? Right. I would have $12 million right now.
Right.
It's a flawed way of thinking.
Right. Very flawed for a couple reasons. One, I didn't have $10,000. Like, I didn't have, like, it wasn't real money. It was never going to happen. And if I had had $10,000, if someone said, here's a $10,000 bonus for doing a great job at Vanguard, I'm not buying 6,666 shares of Marvel Comics. Right. I'm going to fix the floor in my house, or I'm going to put a new AC in, or I'm going to save my kids' college. I'm not going to invest it in Marvel Comics. That's the first big flaw. Second flaw is, and I mentioned this to you as well, given my propensity to shy away from that, when that $10,000 reached a value of $100,000, I'm probably out.
Right.
I'm probably out. And then if you want to talk about real regret, talk about real regret, but it's still pointless. It doesn't really matter, right? One of the biggest challenges we have with regret is that you can't look forward while you're looking back. You can't, if you're looking back at that, you can't move in any meaningful direction, right? There is something valuable from learning from the past. So it's not, I'm not suggesting don't ever examine what's happened in the past.
Right.
But I'm suggesting that the idea that I regret this or I wish this, that doesn't do anybody any good ever.
Well, and I love that powerful statement you just shared. You cannot look forward when you spend all your time looking in the past. And I don't care your age, whether you are 23 years old or 43 years old, regret can be debilitating. It can really take your eyes off the future. And I love how you said that, because when we're focused on the future, when we're focused on where we're going, then, you know, we don't let that hinder us. You know, there's a book called 3 Feet from Gold, And the book 3 Feet from Gold is based on a story that Napoleon Hill shares in his book Think and Grow Rich. And it's the story of a man who went in the gold rush, and he was mining gold and everything was great. Well, then the vein of gold dried up, right? And so then he sold everything, all of his equipment, for pennies on the dollar. The gold mine was done, and he was discouraged, and he went back home. And so the person he sold the gold mine to brought in some engineers to figure out, wait, where did the vein of gold go? And it shifted 3 feet from gold. And they went in there, picked up the vein, and, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in gold was harvested. But the reality is that individual who went back to his home, his, you know, as a defeated individual, actually started selling insurance and grew a massive company. And so, he came up three feet from gold before, but he was not going to allow that to happen again. And so he ended up being very, very successful. And I think it's important that we all remember that if we do have, and this goes back with what you taught on setbacks and failures in a previous podcast, where you were saying, talking about the importance of viewing failures in their right context. And as we think about that, isn't regret just dwelling on a perceived failure?
Absolutely. It absolutely is. It's just not something that is beneficial. Again, we have to look at things that have happened in the past, the failures that we've had, and learn from them. What can we take from them? But we have to set it aside. If we spend too much time saying, oh, I wish, like the 3 feet from gold, if he had let himself focus so much on, if I had just had this equipment, or if I had just had that, you didn't. Like, that guy was never going to get to that vein of gold, ever, ever in a million years. He could have spun his wheels. He could have stayed there. He could have thrown good money after bad. He was never going to get that. So by looking back and living in that past, he's saying, well, if only everything were different, then I would have been better off. Well, that's crazy. Like, that's crazy. But what he could do is learn and say, I missed it by 3 feet. So if I want to do that again, I need to align myself with maybe a better equipment or a better crew that has the skill set to find that. And then he can go back and be successful in the way that wasn't last time. But that's no longer regret. That's now about learning the lesson and moving forward. But you can't live in that world in the past. It just doesn't do any good. It kills anything you have going for you right now.
So how do you avoid dwelling in regret, right? Because, I mean, you think about it, and we've all heard the story, whether it's true or not, the man who bought the pizza with Bitcoin, right? And it could have, you know, it cost him tremendous amount of money if he would have held on to that. And so how do you not dwell in regret, so that you can go have a brighter future?
You know, I know it. We hear this a lot nowadays, and you know, you and I are old school. We're older, and so we remember a world when this phrase didn't exist. But you have to think of the world as being wide open, like living. Living in prosperity, mm-hmm. and there is so much out there. The idea of living in regret is a narrow mindset, right? And so when I think, oh, if only I had, the only reason I'm really stressing about that is because I don't think I have that opportunity now. But if I live in a world where I think I have opportunity, there's opportunity everywhere, then the regret isn't that big a deal. Do I care about not being able to have this? Oh, I missed this opportunity back then. If I know I still have that opportunity now, I don't care. So you have to really shift your mindset to believe, hey, I've got opportunity now. Like, oh, that job didn't work out. Oh, if I had only gotten that job last month, well, then get a different job. And that job exists. Go find it. Like, it's there, right? And that, I'm not saying that I do that all the time. I'm not saying that any of us do. Certainly, we're human beings. We have moments of doubt and frustration. But the sooner we can focus on the future and say, listen, there's so much potential out there. The universe has what I need. Then I don't worry about what I missed out in the past.
That's perfect sense. That abundance mindset. So
that's the word.
You conquer regret by having an abundance mindset. that there is so much there that you're not worried about it. You're not worried about it. And so we have that, you know, the opposite of an abundance mindset would be that scarcity mindset. So I would guess, Francis, the very first thing that people listening need to realize is when you find yourself dwelling in regret, then you have to, one, recognize that, and two, begin to shift your mind into a more abundance mindset. But if people have had, and that goes into a subject you and I have talked about before, learned helplessness, where people have learned helplessness. And for those of you listening, you may be thinking to yourself, what in the world is learned helplessness? It's where you've experienced setback after setback after setback. So you feel like, it doesn't matter what I do, right? That it's right. I'm never going to achieve what I want to achieve. But I love that you're saying you have to shift from that learned helplessness to the abundance mindset. And I think the very first thing you have to do in order to do that is to simply recognize where you're at and where your mind is.
1,000%. You have to recognize that you're in that and to be able to pull yourself out of it. You know, I'm a huge sports fan. I love sports more than I wish I didn't love sports as much as I do. But I'm in Arizona, so I'm a Suns fan. The Suns were up 2-0 over the Bucks in the NBA championship a few years ago, and then they lost 4 straight. And I'm despairing. How much regret do I have about them losing that 4-0 lead if I believe they're going to win the championship next year? I mean, I'm disappointed. Disappointment's not regret, right? I'm disappointed they didn't win. But if I thought that was the only chance they were ever going to have to win a championship, which, you know, now has kind of turned out to be true. But in the moment, if you said to me, Francis, trust me, a championship is possible around the corner, how much am I really worried about the one that we didn't get, right? And so if I really believe that, if I actually believe that, that's part of, I'm a Diamondbacks fan as well. And I believe the Diamondbacks are built to win in the future. So I'm less frustrated about the lost year this year because I believe they can do well next year, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm looking forward. I worry less about that stuff, right? And obviously sports is unimportant in the grand scheme of things, but it's true with a job. It's true with anything if I believe in that abundance of the future.
Well, and Francis, take the Suns and actually make it, think about it in yourself for a moment. Yes, I didn't get this, or I'm disappointed that this didn't happen the way I thought it would. However, my championship is right around the corner. I'm going to win that next championship.
Right.
I'm there. I may fail this. I talk about TK all the time, but TK's mentality, he's, you know, looking to build or buy this large apartment complex. And I'm like, I called him yesterday. I was like, did it go through? And he goes, not yet. But if it doesn't, you know, he's got another one on the horizon and he's thinking that way. And as you think about yourself, and again, Francis, one of the things we talk so much about is betting on yourself and being committed to yourself, because the reality is your championship is going to happen and it's right around the corner, and you could really in reality give up too soon. And that's something that that's why we do what we do, Francis, is to make sure that you don't give up before you get that ring.
Yeah. And I love that because the sports analogy only goes so far, because obviously I don't have any personal control over what those teams do. Right. And so it's an analogy to help explain the concept, but in reality, that's even worse. To have regret about something you have no control over is even worse than that. Well, if only my boss hadn't quit the company.
Right.
Well, what was I going to do to change that? Right. And so but I love you talking about your personal championship, right? That championship is, it can happen if you believe that that's what's coming next. And I'm not talking about the foo-foo, just think that it'll happen and it'll happen. I don't mean that. I'm talking about like creating a plan and building towards the future and looking back and saying, okay, this didn't work out. So what do I need to do next time to make sure I have more control over what happens? You know, I had a job interview a few years back, and I knew the person I was interviewing with. And I said to him, I said, listen, if this doesn't work out, I need you to tell me what I need to do next time, because I'm going to apply again. right? And I'll tell you, for me, what that does is it creates a little bit of a frame of mind. Like, if it doesn't work out, I know there's something in the future for me. I don't have to worry. Like, it's not like the last job ever and I'm pinning everything I have on it. I'm already looking to say, listen, if that, what do I need to do next time in order to have a better shot at this thing? Right. And so that is, for me, has been really important, is to shift the way I look at things. And I haven't always been that way. Well, I have lived the life where it's about regret, and it doesn't work, man. A wise person once said to me, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Absolutely.
And if I live in that world of regret, it is going to bleed over into my relationships at church, at work, at home, my wife. It's all going to, and it's going to destroy everything. Eventually it will destroy everything. If you cannot get out of the world of regret, everything will be destroyed. It just will. You cannot maintain personal relationships if you're living in a world of regret.
Well, and we've watched it, Francis, we've watched it, and we've seen people that do dwell in that world of regret. And so going back to your point here with an abundance mindset, you approach that job, you approach that, you think about this for a moment. So many people go, oh my goodness, if I don't get accepted into this program, if I don't get this particular job, if I don't get to work with this person, then all is lost, right? But the way you approach it is like, okay, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get to where I need to be. And if this doesn't happen, then if this door doesn't open, I'm opening that door, and I'm going to open that door. And because there are unlimited amount of doors out there. Now, with that being said, Francis, sometimes the confused mind, as we've talked about before, the confused mind does nothing. So you have to be careful in your abundance mindset, because some people let that abundance mindset almost hinder them because they're like, oh, there's so many doors to open. You still have to get up and you still have to open that door. You still have to see what's behind door number one, number two, number three, and number four.
Yeah. The abundance mindset only takes you so far, because you're right. That's a great point. You know, it's like, you can believe that there's plenty of opportunity out there, but that it doesn't just happen. You have to, like, those are part and parcel. Like, the action and abundance go together. Because if you don't have action, it's not really an abundance mindset. It's an entitlement mindset.
Right.
And
that
doesn't work, right? I mean, so the action has to go along with that abundance. You know, a couple of years ago, I was working at a company and they were going through some tough times. It was right before the holidays, and I was working with our CEO had resigned, the president of our org had resigned, and the new interim president and I were in a meeting, and we were talking about we all knew changes were coming, and I said to her, I said, listen, Yvonne, I love what I'm doing, I said, and I hope that I have a place here with what we're doing, but if not, like, I want support you however you want, you need to be supported, and I'll find something somewhere else. And she was like, what? Like, she controlled my future. And I said to her, like, if you need to let me go, it's fine. I'll find something somewhere else. Like, and so she called me a week later and she's like, I just need you to know you have a happy holidays, and you know, we've got exciting stuff planned with you for next year. I'm not saying my statement made her change her mind on anything, but I'm saying that I believe that attitude proliferates out into the work you do, that they recognize that that's someone they don't want to not have around, right? And it doesn't mean you're not going to get fired, and it doesn't mean you're not going to get laid off. But in this instance, that abundance mindset of like, listen, if it doesn't work here, it'll work somewhere else. It makes the transition a little easier, and it makes the mindset much more functional. So you're not paralyzed by fear about every little thing that happened. Because I work with people that were like, oh, you can't say this, you can't say that, because you might, I can't do it, man. I can't
well,
do it.
Well, and I just need to, not that I'm going to correct you, but I actually am. She didn't control your future. She controlled that moment. You controlled your future. And that's what's so powerful to note. As I'm listening to that story, you were in control of your future. And even though there was a moment there that looked fairly bleak, you knew your future was bright.
Right.
And you knew that, listen, my future is bright. And it was so bright that she looked at you. And I would say that that statement you gave did have great impact on her, because she looked at you and she was like, okay, yeah, I want to be working with him, because you're so confident in the future. You're so confident in your mindset. Listen, right now, the future and opportunities have never been greater. They've never been greater. And it's and the future's bright for those who will live in that abundance world and not gravitate towards the regret.
Yeah. And you know, the important thing about that too, Chad, is you have to be really careful when you adopt this, or when you kind of transition into this abundance mindset. The abundance mindset, you can't only rely on it when it works. Like, if you are married to, okay, I did this and I still got laid off, so it doesn't work, then you don't really have the abundance mindset. The abundance mindset isn't married to a particular outcome. It's just the idea of, listen, if it doesn't work, I'll find something somewhere else that does, is not just lip service. That if it doesn't work, that means that all is lost, and this whole idea of looking forward doesn't, it's not, it just means you're not getting it yet, right? You can't tie it to any one thing. I don't get to decide what abundance looks like. The universe does, right? I have to just lean into it and take action and recognize that, man, this is a great opportunity, even though it may not be the opportunity I thought I was going to get. If she had ended up laying me off at the holidays, I can still have an abundance mindset that, man, the opportunity that's out in front of me is going to be huge, even though it's not here, right? If we're married to this idea that it has to be here, that's not an abundance mindset. You got
to
be careful.
Well, you not only do you have to be careful with it, it feeds the learned helplessness that we were talking about before,
correct?
Right? Because where you said, oh, you know what? It's all going to work out. I know my future is bright. And you know what? If, oh, wait, that didn't happen the way I thought. Oh no, I guess I thinking that way didn't help me. It's a muscle, the abundance.
And it's looking back.
Right.
That's looking back.
Yes. It's that analogy that you used in at the beginning of the podcast, where you can't be looking forward and backwards at the same time. Mm-mm. It doesn't work. Mm-mm. And that abundance mindset is a muscle you have to exercise every day.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it's important also to acknowledge that you're not always going to get it right. There are times where you, like, the woe is me comes in. I think I told a story to you. I had a mentor. She sent me to some training, and I called her. I actually texted her. I texted her that night, and I said, I'm so excited. I learned about this thing. And I said, now I'm excited because I'm not going to do it anymore. And she wrote back. She's like, oh, that's adorable. She's like, that's not the way it works. Like, you don't not do things that make you human. Like, you are going to do those things. It's just now that you know it, you can pull yourself out of it more quickly.
Right.
Right. And so the idea that you understand abundance and that you understand what it means to look forward doesn't mean you're never going to look backwards. And it doesn't even mean it's not okay. You just need to move out of it more quickly, because it doesn't serve you to stay in that moment. Right. And so you're going to fall. You're going to fail. You're going to slip back into old habits. Just hopefully you can move forward more quickly and more effectively, so you can get where you want to go, where you need to be better and faster.
Right. And also, if Francis, you have to recognize it. You have to be quick to recognize, okay, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm doing. And correct. I love that what your mentor taught you there, because when she said, oh, that's adorable, what she really was saying, don't let down your guard. Don't let down your guard. Because what you were saying is, I think I've got this figured out. I've got this figured out. This is great. Check the box. And what she was saying was, Francis, don't let down your guard. This is something you got to work at all of the time.
Right. Because what's the danger? If I think I've got this figured out and I check the box, what happens the next time human nature kicks in and I get discouraged, or this thing that I had learned didn't work, then I say, oh, that doesn't work. That doesn't work for me.
And
so by her warning me, like, listen, these are still, like you said, don't let down your guard. I love that. Don't let down your guard, because it's going to happen again. But now you know it's going to happen again, so you can pull. So the knowing is part of the knowing, right? Is that idea that we don't know what we don't know. Like, now I know, so I can correct the behavior. I can't correct something I don't know anything about, right? And so it was a really powerful lesson.
Well, and that's what one of the things at the Speaking Get What You Want Academy, that community piece is what people really gravitate and love, because they realize, wait, I can't do this alone. I need to have the support of others to help me maintain that abundance mindset that allows me to not wallow in what we call one of the most worthless traits, or one of the most worthless things you can embrace, and that is that of regret.
Absolutely.
Francis, great being with you. Love what you shared. Look forward to seeing you in the Academy and future podcasts. Talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye now.